Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle.
And I'm Peter Sagal. This week, the nation embraced a team of champions who stood up and did the impossible with the entire world watching. And they didn't once have to use their inhalers. We'll interview two of the rocket scientists behind the Mars Curiosity rover, plus the latest in the mud fight that is our sacred democracy. All this and Carl Castle lets you know that you can now listen to our show at work.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the cubicle.
We'll reveal the real menace in the office on our show. It all comes up right after this hour's news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. The new team of Romney and Ryan is on the road this weekend. Mitt Romney and running mate Paul Ryan are on a bus tour in North Carolina today. Here's how they were greeted in Mooresville, about 50 miles outside Charlotte. Romney told the crowd that voters have a clear choice to make between competing versions of the nation. He ridiculed the president's idea that businesses owe some of their success to the government.
If a young person works hard, they make the honor roll. They study and study and prepare for the exams and take those exams and tests and do well. They make the honor roll. Now, I know that to get to school, they had to go on a bus and they had to have a bus driver. But if they get the honor roll, I don't give the credit to the bus driver. I give it to the kid.
After stops in North Carolina, Romney and Ryan will fly to a rally in Wisconsin, Ryan's home state. Democrats meeting in Detroit this weekend have approved a draft of the party's platform ahead of next month's national convention. NPR's Sonari Glinton reports.
Democrats unanimously approved a platform that supports same-sex unions. Newark Mayor Cory Booker chaired the Democratic Platform Committee meeting in Detroit.
And so I think it's very significant that you had a president come out and say enough is enough. I believe the right of any two American citizens to marry. And I think that we as a party have really embraced the president's ideas on this matter, and the platform reflects that.
It's the first time the party has supported gay marriage. The 50-page platform, which outlines the party's position on everything from housing to the United Nations, moves on to the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte next month. Sonari Glinton, NPR News, Detroit.
Activists say Syrian government forces carried out a field execution of at least 40 men in a northwestern province, while violence continues in the country's three major cities. Rasha Ilas has details from Beirut.
Rebels in Idlib claim they're now in full control of Kfar Nabl, a restive town where residents have become known for humorous anti-regime postings on social media. Meanwhile, shelling continued in the embattled cities of Aleppo and Homs, where activists posted a video of a person that appeared to fly higher than a five-story building when an aerial shell fell nearby. In the country's capital, Damascus, rebels have been clashing since yesterday with government forces in neighborhoods throughout the heart of the city. For NPR News, I'm Rasha Ilas in Beirut.
The interior minister in Iran says at least 227 people died in yesterday's earthquakes. Another 1,300 people were injured. Two powerful quakes struck within 11 minutes of each other. At least six villages were destroyed. Since the quakes, dozens of aftershocks have been felt, prompting residents to sleep outside last night. This is NPR News from Washington. A U.S. naval destroyer collided with an oil tanker early this morning just outside the Strait of Hormuz. No injuries were reported. Naval officials say the USS Porter ended up with a gaping hole after the collision with the Panamanian-flagged oil tanker. There's no word yet on how it happened, and there are no reports of any spills or leakage from either vessel. Central China is trying to recover from Tropical Storm Hai Quai that battered the coast this week, causing heavy flooding that destroyed thousands of homes and miles of crops. NPR's Frank Langford reports from Shanghai.
Haikui was the third typhoon to hit China's east coast in a week. Officials said it caused 6 deaths and more than 2 million people to seek higher ground. Among the cities hardest hit was Jiangxi Province's Jingdezhen, known for its ancient porcelain tradition. The city received more than a foot of rain, according to state-run China Daily. Video showed people floating through the streets on makeshift rafts. In neighboring Anhui Province, more than 4,000 homes collapsed and nearly 500,000 acres of crops were damaged. Officials estimate that in Anhui alone, the storm caused about $500 million in economic losses. Frank Langford, NPR News, Shanghai.
A heat wave continues in much of the western U.S. this weekend. Temperatures are roughly 10 degrees above normal and in triple digits in many areas. Authorities in numerous states are issuing a variety of warnings to its residents. Curtail energy use, stay hydrated, look out for bears. That one is in Colorado, where high temperatures have dried up the natural food supply, prompting bears to forage in human habitats. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world on the web at hewlett.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the Merrill Auditorium in Portland, Maine, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. So much for the reserved New Englander thing. It's great to be here in Portland, which is the hipster capital of Maine. It's terrible now. The grizzled old lobstermen have to wear T-shirts saying, "My beard is not ironic." So everybody was all excited this week about the successful landing of the Mars rover Curiosity. And two of the mission's engineers, Babak Ferdowski and Adam Stelzner, known to the internet as the Mohawk guy and the Elvis guy, became famous as the sexiest nerds ever. We will have them join us later so they can explain to me exactly how that is done. But first, it's your turn to reach out to a strange place and see what you can find. The number to call, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Devin Moore, and I'm calling from Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Beautiful Santa Fe. What a great place.
I know.
And what do you do there in that paradise in the desert?
I am about to get a graduate degree in counseling, and I also take care of horses.
Do you practice counseling with the horses?
You know, they're the better listeners, I have to say.
Really?
Really.
So, wait a minute. Do the horses then counsel you?
They do. They give me really good feedback, too.
Do they ever say, "Oh, I'm afraid our time is up"?
They do. Yeah, they're very...
Well, welcome to the show, Devin. Let me introduce you to our panel for this show. First up, it's an author and humorist and a resident blogger now at cartalk.com, of all places. Mr. Tom Baudette is here.
Hello, Devin.
Next, the woman who writes the syndicated advice column Ask Amy for the Chicago Tribune, Ms. Amy Dickinson, is here. Finally, an author whose latest is the book Alpha Better Juice, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hi, Devin.
Devin, for our first game today, we're going to play a new game that we're calling
the Newsmaker Olympics.
You're giving out medals in London left and right, but what if you have no physical skill whatsoever? What about the rest of us? So this week, we're giving out gold medals for achievements in current events. Guess the winner 2 times out of 3, you'll win our prize, Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Carl, what is the first medal we're awarding?
Gold medal for sticking the landing on an alien planet, but a bronze medal for boring landscape photography.
Who won these medals?
The Mars Curiosity.
Yes, the Mars rover called Curiosity. Very well done. Yes. Everybody was so thrilled when we managed to land the biggest and best rover ever on Mars. Of course, nobody was happier than the rover itself because it managed to get off this ridiculous planet. The first thing it did upon arriving on Mars was to check for Kardashians.
It said, I don't know, what was it, a tweet or whatever, but it said an odd thing when it landed. It said, Gale Crater, I am in you.
Yes. Yeah.
I guess if it had just missed, it would have said, Gale Crater, I'm not that into you.
It's an amazingly sophisticated probe. This is true. It's got this laser on it that can incinerate rocks and instantly test the smoke. It's got like GPS and radar so it can navigate. It's got the Yelp app so it knows where to eat. Yeah. We're all celebrating this, but it's kind of sad for the rover, you know. Before it left, it was like, yeah, I'm so excited to go to Mars. I'll be the coolest robot ever when I get back. And they're like, yeah, good, okay. Time to climb in.
It's not going to ever come back?
Now, how do you propose to get it back?
I don't propose to get it back. I'm not a rocket scientist.
Well, it's nuclear powered, right?
Yeah.
And it's got a little laser, so it can, like, spend eternity just sort of just dubbing around. Zapping rocks. I mean, what more does a robot need when you think about it?
Peter, you upset Roy with the whole thing with the robot not coming back. You've
really?
Upset him now.
I just got to know it well.
Carl, right now we have another gold medal. What is it?
The winner of the gold medal in unsubstantiated accusations, tax returns division.
Who won this gold for insinuating that Mitt Romney hasn't paid any taxes for the last 10 years or so?
That would be Harry Reid.
Yes, Harry Reid. Very good, Devin. Harry Reid. The Senate Majority Leader said that someone, quote unquote, told him that Romney is not releasing his tax returns because he hasn't paid any taxes for many years. And everybody goes nuts over this. The RNC, the head of the RNC, responded by calling Harry Reid a, quote, dirty liar, right? Mm. And President Obama responded to that by calling Mitt Romney Romneyhood. That's supposed to be a play on Robin Hood. The idea is that Romney will take from the poor and give to the rich. But Romneyhood? Romneyhood? It sounds like a wonderful place to live. Welcome to the Romneyhood, where every car has an elevator.
Romneyhood sounds like the nature of the man. You're attacking my very Romneyhood.
But the real shocking part of the story was that Harry Reid did something interesting.
Well, what I love about it is, I mean, they could have done worse. I think it's just payback for the Obama birth certificate thing. Like, let's just make some wild claim about the other side and then say, well, why aren't you producing it? Why aren't you proving it? I mean, they could have said Romney has no middle toes.
Yeah.
And then,
who told you
and
that?
And he says, I do too have middle toes. Well, prove it. We've never seen your toes. Why won't you? He won't show us his toes. Mm-hmm. And,
such a coward. No. Such a shoe-wearing coward, really.
What kind of American doesn't have middle toes? I ask you. I think the American voters have a right to know.
Yeah, right. The American people. Yeah, he may have fungus. You know those?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen really, really awful toes?
Well, it explains why he's always wearing shoes in all of his appearances.
He does tend to wear them.
This is going to be a super PAC ad by Monday.
I know.
All right, very good, Devin. Here is your last medal.
A molten gold medal for synchronized ice cap melting.
So what won the gold for bringing the heat this summer?
Global warming.
Yeah, the weather, basically. Very good. You know what? You know, when you sit around, you talk about how boring it is to talk about the weather. Oh, it was dull. We just chit-chatted about the weather. Well, the weather has heard that. And the weather decided to be more interesting by trying to burn us alive.
Right.
July was the hottest July ever recorded in the United States, even hotter than in the Dust Bowl years. Oh, technically, that's just for the lower 48 states. Okay, technically, it's just the lower 47 because Oklahoma melted.
It's going to take some adjustment. You know, a lot of things with the as the warm weather moves north, you know, there's other insects and funguses that we've not seen before showing up. And I was in my woods last week, and there was this fungus on my trees that I'd never seen before, and I pulled it off, and it was a banana.
No.
Yeah.
You're going to have to adjust to it. The first 7 months of 2012, as so far, it makes 2012 the hottest year ever. Next year is going to be hotter, but we have to look in the bright side. You can get tan mom level tans in 1 minute outside. Instead of frying an egg on the sidewalk, the egg will now come out of the chicken already fried. That's good.
And
this will be great. All the winter Olympic athletes in 2 years, they'll be able to dress in bikinis too. Ooh. So we'll finally get curling the attention it deserves.
Yeah, awesome.
Carl, how did Devin do in our quiz?
Devin, you had 3 correct answers, so you win our prize. Congratulations.
Well done. Thank you, Devin, for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Amy, scientists have discovered that just like Americans in the 50s, dinosaurs once experienced what?
Oh, wow. Just like Americans in the 50s, dinosaurs once experienced making out in the rec room? No, that's not it.
What are you guys doing down there? Hunting for prey, Mom! Nothing. Actually, technically, for Americans, it started right after World War II.
Right after World War II.
Yes, through the 50s.
The 50s.
Americans had a what? Dinosaurs had the same thing.
A baby boom.
A baby boom, yes.
Oh,
dinosaurs
my God!
Had a baby boom. Paleontologists have struggled for years to explain why a particular generation of dinosaurs seems so selfish and self-absorbed.
Right.
Well, actually, no. This particular baby boom, if you want to call it that, they now believe arose because of the Rocky Mountains, which arose, quite literally, and it cut off the dinosaurs' ability to migrate further, so they stuck around and, well, did it, you know. Which is weird, because it makes you start, for the first time, really, think about dinosaurs and sex, which you never think about at the same time.
No.
Because you think about dinosaurs until such time as you're old enough to start thinking about sex.
Right.
And you forget all about dinosaurs.
Transition.
What are, like, dinosaur pickup lines? Like, come on, baby, we're going to be extinct soon.
Right. If I could get my tiny little arms around you, I would. But now that you've introduced the concept of dinosaurs and sex, now it's like I can't think about anything else.
There's so many questions. Well,
you can imagine. She's cute, but her brain's the size of a walnut. You know what I mean? You know?
Coming up, the fax machine is trying to kill you. It's a workplace dangers bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. And they can put a rover on Mars, but can they win our game? 2 stars of the Curiosity mission. Join us to play our quiz. Support for this week's show in Portland, Maine, comes from Wyman's of Maine, growers, packers, and marketers of wild blueberries and berry fruits for the United States and international market. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Motel 6, offering an iPhone and Android app for booking a room at locations throughout the country. More information at motel6.com. Tom.
Where they'll leave the light on for you.
They'll do that. The National Association of Realtors, an advocate for home ownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. And Angie's List, providing reviews on local AC repair, landscapers, doctors, and others based on member experiences at angieslist.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
We'll be right back.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Roy Blunt Jr., Amy Dickinson, and Tom Baudette. And here again is your host at the Merrill Auditorium in Portland, Maine, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Justin Berry from Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Grand Forks, North Dakota. I may be the first person ever to say that in an excited tone. So what do you do there?
I teach at a local community college.
Uh-huh. Are you from there?
I'm from the other side of North Dakota, the warmer side. I'm from more of the banana belt of North Dakota.
Really? <That's right. laughs> Where they grow the famous North Dakota pineapples. Or they will soon. Well, Justin, it's nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Justin's topic?
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in your cubicle.
Firefighters and ice road truckers are not the only workers who risk their lives. Turns out office drones sitting in cubicles face a number of silent killers that they're not aware of. Our panelists are going to tell you about them. Guess the real workplace hazard in the news this week, and you will win Carl's voice on your voicemail. Ready to go?
I'm ready.
Let's hear from Tom Baudette first.
Facebook and cat videos may save your life. People in tech support call centers are starting to actually die from boredom. One minute they're sitting in their cubbies staring at monitors, reading scripts into their headsets. Is your computer plugged in? Is it turned on? The next, bam, dead on their keyboards. After investigating several of these mysterious deaths in call centers from Minot to El Paso, forensics expert Dr. Gordon Hayward has determined that extreme paralyzing boredom, such as that found in particular work environments, reduces mental activity to less than 10% of the 10% of our brains that we use in the first place. This can cause the brain to go into a passive meta state similar to that achieved by most advanced yogis during their meditations. Yogis, however, aren't generally staring into a flickering monitor while wearing a headset, said Dr. Gordon. The combination of brain stasis and the dynamo hum of technology can cause the brain to essentially switch off. Gordon encourages office workers to frequently check their Facebook pages, join online gambling clubs, and download World of Minecraft 2.3 for good measure.
Call center operators can die from boredom. Your next story of unexpected office danger comes from Amy Dickinson.
It's really hard to be a good customer service phone representative when you are actually gasping for breath and begging your customers to rescue you. At least that's what workers at the Parrish Reed Insurance Company in Bangor, Maine have discovered. A series of very unfortunate incidents revealed that younger workers got really hung up trying to make calls on old-fashioned landline phones. They inadvertently wrapped themselves up in their phone cords and tripped themselves and each other while trying to walk and talk, sweeping computer monitors off their desk in the process. One young sales rep asked her own customer to call 911 after accidentally wrapping her phone cord around her own neck and falling to the floor. Management responded by offering training. One exercise involved attaching cords to their sales rep's cell phones and tying the cords together around a central pole. When seven trainees managed to tie themselves together in what was later referred to as the Maypole of Death, management gave up and went completely cordless. Executive Vice President Sarah Potter said, "We run an insurance company, for God's sake. It would be really great if our employees could get through the day without risking their own lives just by making a phone call."
Phone cords. Causing terrible problems for people at a call center in Bangor. Your last story of a workplace peril comes from Roy Blunt.
Watch out. Don't panic. Just back away slowly. You're looking at a live paperclip. This week, the Manchester office of Britain's National Health Service issued a directive to all its employees that they must forthwith dispose of all metal paperclips. It seems that one of the office's workers, whether or not using the paperclip appropriately, was scratched by a paperclip. So that all personnel would be fully apprised of the exact nature of the paperclip threat, the directive included an actual photograph of one of those twisted metal menaces. Fortunately, the directive is only one page long. So it need not be held together by a hazardous device.
All right, then. So somewhere, somebody is under an unexpected threat. Is it from Tom Baudet that workers at a help center could die from boredom from their dull jobs? From Amy Dickinson, people in a customer service office getting tangled in phone cords? Or from Roy Blunt Jr., a warning that paper clips are dangerous devices? Which of these is the real story of a workplace danger in the news?
Wow, I'm going to have to go with Roy's story.
All right, you're going to pick Roy's story of the dangerous paper clips in Manchester, England. Well, we spoke to somebody familiar with the true story.
If you misuse a paperclip, it's possible to put your finger with it, but our belief is that paperclips don't hurt people. People hurt people.
That's what they say. That was Richard Nelson of ACCO Brands. That's one of the largest paperclip suppliers in the nation, defending the safety of the paperclip from those bureaucrats in Manchester, England. Congratulations, Justin. You got it right. Well done. You earned a point. Roy, you've won our prize. Carol Castle. We'll, of course, record the greeting on your home voicemail. Well done.
Right.
Thanks for playing. And now the game where we force smart people to do something dumb. Last Sunday night, while the rest of us were oohing and aahing over women's gymnastics or some silliness, a bunch of propeller heads at NASA and the Jet Propulsion Laboratory managed to flawlessly steer a $1 billion robotic space lab the size of a minivan to a pinpoint landing on Mars. Two of the guys who did that very cool thing, Babak Ferdowski and Adam Stelzner of JPL, join us now. Babak and Adam, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So first of all, let's identify you guys. Babak, you are known now, I believe, all over the world as the Mohawk guy.
That's me.
That's you. Okay. And before you became the Mohawk guy, what was your title?
I was a flight director, or I still am, a flight director on the Mars Science Lab mission.
No, now you're the Mohawk guy. I'm sorry. I checked with the internet. That's who you are. And Adam, you are known also colloquially as the Elvis hair guy.
Yes, it's a heavy responsibility.
Right. To be the Elvis hair guy. And Adam, what is your job at JPL?
I'm in charge of the landing of Curiosity.
Right.
How'd that go?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that.
So let's talk about the unimportant stuff, and then we'll get to your hair.
Okay.
So Babak, you're the flight director, and Adam, you were in charge of the landing. The landing was so insanely complicated. You had the heat shield and the parachute and the sky crane, all this cool stuff. How in the world did you know it would work?
That's, the proof of the pudding's in the tasting, and we didn't really know it would work. I had the hardest time believing it would work myself. We made models of it in computers, and we tested pieces that we thought we could test. But in the end, you never know if it's all going to come together.
Right. So basically, the first time that you ever actually tried this in the real world was on Mars on Sunday.
No.
Yes, that's correct.
Wow. So, Adam, tell me about your background, because what we read, you were like a rock and roll guy for a while, right?
Right. Yeah, I was not the best student in high school, so I stopped going to high school.
Really?
And started playing music. And after a few years of that, playing rock and roll in the San Francisco Bay Area, I became intrigued at the fact that there were a different set of stars in the sky as I'd drive home from playing a show, as there had been when I went to the show. And I had some vague recollection about something moving with respect to something else, but I...
But then you stopped taking
really
drugs, right?
That's right. And so you, so you, then I yeah. went down to the local community college to try and figure out why those stars were moving, and then I started to make up for my lack of high school education, so on and so forth, and then I'm here.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what had you done to qualify? Well, congratulations.
Amazing.
And what had you done to sort of qualify yourself to be the guy in charge of landing this rover?
That's a really good question. I continuously ask myself that.
And Bobak, you were the flight director. What does that mean?
I'm sort of like that Ed Harris character in Apollo 13, but our job is decidedly less dramatic, except for those last 7 minutes.
Really? So you're the guy who's in charge of like being in the middle of the room and sort of shouting out commands to people as they stare at monitors.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And you're famous because when people tuned in the video on Sunday to watch the landing, they saw you in charge in the room wearing this rather remarkable hairdo, the mohawk. And is it true that you, just like Ed Harris, or rather the real-life person, in the Apollo missions had a new vest for every mission, you have a new hairstyle for every mission?
That's exactly right. For all the big events on this project, like launch and everything else, I've had a completely different hairstyle. The last one was voted on by the team when somebody sent out an internet poll for the whole team to vote on.
Wow. And they voted on a mohawk. And these are your friends. Talk to me about your internet fame. Bobak, you in particular, you have become you've become a practical meme. We understand you've been getting a lot of marriage proposals via Twitter, which shows real commitment to you as a person. what is instant internet fame like?
It's so crazy. I can't believe it. I'm still kind of getting over the fact that we just put something on Mars, but it's a lot.
No. And, tell me about the girls. I want to hear about the groupies.
They're super nice.
So guys, what is the oddest thing that's happened to you since you became internet celebrities?
The oddest thing?
Yeah.
I think. Well, I got an invitation to be on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
No, oh, that's. You know, you've made it. You're the flight director, Bobak. You're the guy in charge of landing Adam. It flew there and it landed. Aren't you two guys out of a job now?
Mm. Well, Bobak's still going to work the surface mission because they still need flight directors for that. But I am certified out of a job.
Really?
Really?
So what are you going to do now?
I'm going to start looking for work.
Really? I mean, you're just going to be like unemployed rocket scientist, genius, landed thing on Mars, can stamp
we'll
cans.
Land on Mars for food.
Right. Yeah. Well, Adam and Bobak, we are delighted to have you here, and we have asked you here to play a game that this time we are calling
Try Landing on This Mars.
It is actually easier to get a camera onto the surface of Mars than into a Mars candy factory. The company's incredibly secretive. We're going to ask you three questions about Mars, the candy company, and if you get two right, you win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on the home answering machine. Carl, who are Adam and Bobak playing for?
Adam and Bobak are playing for Adair Emmons of Portland, Maine.
You guys ready to play?
Ready to play.
All right. And remember, you are rocket scientists. Don't screw this up. Mars is known for its very modest corporate culture, up to and including the family members who run the company. Which of these rules do the company executives have to follow? A, for trips of less than 100 miles, they are required to travel by Greyhound bus. B, instead of cell phones, each executive is given a roll of quarters for payphones and told to bring back the change.
Oh.
Or C, each executive, including the CEO of the company, has to punch in and out of work on a time clock.
We think C.
Did you actually consult, or did you just decide for the team there, Adam?
Adam's a team lead, so
I understand.
He always decides.
Do you do that? You're just like, we're hungry now. We feel like a pizza.
We don't like what you're saying.
All right, then. But the team has collectively decided that the answer is C, the time clock.
C is in curiosity.
Yes. Well, you guys are right. Yes, it was the time clock. They all have to punch in and out. Even if you are as the CEO of Mars is the grandson of the founder and the owner of the company. All right. The company is famously efficient. For example, the company's legendary boss, Forrest Mars, son of the founder, he used to do what to save money? A, he would scrape chocolate off the faces of kid taste testers to melt down and use again. B, he would feed the pigs at his private farm with defective M&Ms. Mm. Or C, he changed the typeface on M&Ms to sans serif to save money on the ink that he would no longer have to use.
I lost it. We think it's C.
We think it's C. Mission Control says C. They changed the typeface to save a little ink without the serifs.
Yes, confirmed.
Confirmed. Thank you, Mission Control. You are incorrect. This is, I'm sorry. This is, it's actually what happened was is he had a private farm with pigs, and he was very meticulous about M&Ms. If any of them were defective, had a typo in M&Ms, he would ship them down and use them for pig food. This is very exciting. The company is extremely secretive, Mars is, so much so that what? A, outsiders who come into the factory to work are blindfolded as they enter and walk across the factory floor. B, until the law required them to change it, the ingredients on a Mars bar were listed as, quote, wouldn't you like to know? Or C, if an employee is asked where they work, they are required to say the CIA.
I'm going to go with A as an Adam.
Bobak, you're going for A. Adam, do you agree?
I'm going to follow the flight director on this one.
You're going to go with A? Correct! A successful landing! I'll do the correct answer. If you are a contractor and you have to work on the floor, they will blindfold you as they bring you to your place so you can't tell the world their secrets. Carl, how did our guests do?
They did very well, Peter. Two correct answers. That's good enough to win for Adair Emmons.
Well done, guys. So, last weekend you landed a rover on Mars. This weekend you won in this quiz. What are you going to do next weekend?
I'm going to try to get Carl to record a message on a Mars rover.
There you go.
Oh.
Oh. All right. I'd be glad to.
I'm going to hold you to that, Carl.
Oh, okay. He'll be there for you. Bobak Fredowski and Adam Stelzner are two of the men behind the Mars Curiosity mission. Bobak and Adam, thank you so much for being on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Congratulations on that insanely cool thing you did. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
In just a minute, Carl pets his kitty cat in our listener limerick challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and eSurance, an Allstate company, offering tools to help guide customers through the car insurance process from quote to claim. Learn more at eSurance.com. The Scan Foundation, committed to aging with dignity and independence at thescanfoundation.org. And Chevrolet, maker of the Volt, an electric car that runs on electricity or gas to go farther. Details at ChevyVolt.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Roy Blunt Jr., Amy Dickinson, and Tom Baudet. And here again is your host at the Merrill Auditorium in Portland, Maine, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. In just a minute, Carl says, brother, can you spare a rhyme in our listener limerick challenge? If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Tom, there's a high-profile trial going on in Moscow right now. An all-girl punk band that was protesting President Putin has been accused of blasphemy against the Orthodox Church. But it's forcing journalists from around the world to have to do what?
Eat borscht.
No.
Learn Russian.
No. No, I'll just tell you, the story is forcing journalists to say the words Pussy Riot, which is the name of the band. It's made for some of the most uncomfortable newsroom moments since word broke that Mitt Romney was considering Harry Johnson as his running mate. So you get to hear a bunch of otherwise staid and somber newscasters sound like this.
The band calls itself Pussy Riot. Here's what they did that caused all the fuss.
All-girl group known as Pussy Riot face up to 7 years.
But Pussy Riot's legal team is cautious.
This is Pussy Riot.
5 members of Pussy Riot storm
into Pussy Riot.
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 Well, you know,
remarkable.
But now that you play that, I don't know how I missed that story.
Yeah. Actually, just to be clear, NBC's Brian Williams, who you heard in the middle of that, was not actually talking about this story. He was describing his awesome spring break this year. Amy, despite a largely successful diplomatic mission in Malawi, in Africa, it's being reported that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was chased onto her plane and then out of the country by what?
It has to have been insects?
Yes.
Ooh.
A swarm of bees. According to local news reports, yes, applaud the bees. In Malawi, a giant swarm of bees showed up at the airport and chased Secretary Clinton and her entourage onto her plane. We thought we Americans would be greeted as liberators by the bees, but we should have known.
Is this going to come up later, like the stories about Kosovo when she was, you know, under fire?
It should be
like, come up later.
Well, actually, in a reverse
really
of that situation,
happened.
In reverse of the situation, they're denying it happened. The report is now being denied by the State Department's office for taking the fun out of everything. They don't dispute that there were bees at the landing strip, just that there was any panic or fleeing on the Secretary's part. They say that Secretary Clinton simply destroyed the bees with her steely gaze. She can shoot lasers when she gets mad enough.
There's a reason you wear a comfortable pantsuit and sensible shoes.
Yes.
That's
However,
all I'm going to say.
Because of this incident, she has decided to never again wear the pantsuit with the broad black and yellow stripes. She's not going to do that anymore. Tom, every 4 years we get to learn something about the techniques and otherworldly training of athletes in the Olympic Games. Well, this time around, Michael Phelps confirmed a rumor about the Olympic swimmers that they do what?
Is it the bong therapy?
No, it is not the bong therapy.
I'll need a hint.
Well, you'd be angry at your kids if they did this.
Yeah, a bit.
You keeps the pool warm.
Yeah. I knew a man who had possums, who had possum shows, and he said the O in possum is
I'm sorry,
silent.
Did you say he had what?
Possum shows.
He had possum shows?
Yeah, O possum shows. And he said the O in possum is silent, like the P in swimming.
I'm gonna take that as a hint.
I'm just guessing.
And so they pee in the pool.
They pee in the pool. That's what Michael Phelps said. Apparently, pool urination is one of the annoying necessities of elite level swimming, like full body shaving or Ryan Lochte. Phelps told the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal, quote, "It's kind of a normal thing to do for swimmers. When we're in the water for 2 hours, we don't really get out to pee." Mm-hmm. And, quote, "Chlorine kills it, so it's not too bad." people have dealt with this news with some equanimity, but one big Olympic merchandising idea has now been canceled. No more Olympic pool spring bottled water.
That would make that, you know, the if they put that chemical in the pool that turns blue, that'd be kind of cool in those freestyle things.
Just be like
those
waves of blue.
Be like jet streams, jet trails.
Be great TV.
The problem isn't really the swimmers. I mean, the guys are in there for hours at a time during training. But all the other athletes who do the same thing. It's like, Usain Bolt, what are you doing near the pool?
Why are you in the pool?
Rafalka, bad horse. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That translates to 1-888-924-8924. You can always click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. You can find out there about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. We'd love to see you. Or come visit us in Atlanta, Georgia, when we do our show at the Fox Theater in Atlanta on September 20th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Perry.
Hey, Perry, how are you?
Doing well.
And where are you calling from?
Twin Falls, Idaho.
Twin Falls, Idaho. That sounds like a beautiful place.
It's lovely.
What do you do there?
Well, I'm a grant writer at a community college. My family owns a whitewater rafting company.
Oh, really? So that's pretty rugged work.
It's a lot of fun.
I bet it is. Well, welcome to the show, Perry. Carl Castle is now going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you will be a big winner. Ready to play?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here is your first limerick.
Dear friend, this gift here means what you think. When I'm near you, my eyes tear and blink. This deodorant stick might just do the trick. Please use this gift, friend, 'cause you...
Stink?
Yes, stink! We all have a friend or coworker who smells terrible but doesn't seem to know it.
We sure do, Peter.
But now, thanks to an Arizona-based deodorant company, you can send an anonymous deodogram.
Ooh.
That smelly person in your life along with a discreet note encouraging its use. Really, there's no faster way to send someone you love and care for on the emotional roller coaster from, hey, a secret admirer sent me a present, to everybody I know thinks I'm disgusting. Here is our next limerick.
Our Super PAC's goals are quite clear. We aim for convivial cheer. We students do think that D.C. needs a drink, so our PAC raises money for...
Beer?
Yes! A couple of politically minded George Washington University students have formed a political action committee to buy beer for congressmen. It's a real thing, and that's its purpose. They argue that beer and regular happy hours will bring lawmakers together and bridge the gap between parties. If this works, you can look forward to the, yes, look forward to the 2016 budget being balanced by charging admission to the House of Representatives wet blazer contest.
I mean, you throw beer on that, and all it's going to do is be it's going to be just fist fights in every corner.
Here is your last limerick.
At daytimes, I couldn't lay stiller, but by night, I become a blood spiller. It's more than a mouse that I slay in the house. Mm. This feline's a cold, ruthless...
killer?
Yes! Researchers at the University of Georgia attached little cameras to house cats before they went outside, and they checked the cameras when they came back, and they discovered, quote, a secret world of slaughter. Unquote. Your house cats are killing far more animals out there than anybody ever knew. Your cat is a psychopath. Which is why he's now going by all three names, Fluffy Ray McCuddles.
Yeah. They also found that lots of cats have more than one home. And in fact, I knew somebody who was canvassing for votes in his neighborhood. And he went to the neighbor's house, knocked on the door, and they started chatting. And he noticed that the neighbor had some cat toys on the rug there. He said, oh, you have a cat? And they said, yeah, we have a cat. He's he's around, he just sleeps here all day, and then he goes out at night, and we never see him all night. And he said, well, that's funny, our cat sleeps all night and goes out here and never see him all day. And at that point, a cat walked by, and the canvasser said, Puff! It was his cat, had a double life.
You know, that's, you know what's weird? My dad did that.
How did you find out? Did you put a camera on his collar, Amy? Carl, how did Perry do in our quiz?
Perry had 3 correct answers. So, Perry, I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine or voicemail.
Well done. Awesome. Thank you so much, Perry.
Thanks. Have a good one.
You too. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Amy Dickinson has the lead, Peter. She has 3 points. Roy Blunt Jr. has 2. Tom Baudette, 1.
All right. Tom, you are in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Tuesday, the Labor Department announced that in June, 3.8 million blanks were created, the most in 4 years.
Jobs.
Yes. Memorials were held around the world for the victims of the shooting at a Sikh temple last weekend in blank.
Milwaukee.
Yes. Food prices are expected to surge worldwide because of the blank hitting the U.S.
The drought.
Yes. A 6-year-old boy from Salt Lake City who'd suffered from breathing problems was finally diagnosed with blank.
I could have diagnosed. He had Legos up his nose.
Close. He had a toy rubber wheel. We'll give it to you. Yes.
Wasn't there a kid with Legos up his nose in the news this week? I mean,
a Wisconsin teen thanked his quote abnormally fast thumbs for helping him win this week's national blanking championship
in
New York.
Texting.
Yes. Alaska Airlines came under fire after a passenger noticed a damaged area of the wing along with a blank.
Oh, a screaming demon like that one in Twilight Zone.
Yes,
clawing parts from the
That would have
engine.
Been cool. No, what he looked out the window was he saw a damaged area of the wing and a note written next to it saying, "We know about this." Alaska Airlines apologizes. The plane was totally safe, but the note was inappropriate. They also apologized to the sign at the front of the plane that said, "If the cockpit's a rockin', don't come a knockin'." Also inappropriate. Carl, how did Tom do in our quiz?
Tom had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 11 points, and Tom has the lead.
Well done, Tom. All right.
Ain't gonna make it.
Roy, you're up next. Fill in the blank, Roy. On Monday, the Prime Minister of blank fled that country and defected.
Syria.
Right. After her shooter pled guilty on Tuesday, former Congresswoman blank said she was satisfied with the deal.
Gabby Giffords.
Right. This week, President Obama and Mitt Romney said that they disagree with the Boy Scouts' policy of excluding blank members.
Gay.
Right. A Texas man survived driving his truck off a cliff just moments after he blanked.
I shouldn't be texting so much.
Right. He sent a text message saying, "I need to quit texting because I could die in a car accident." He didn't die. Now he's a spokesman against texting while driving. American athlete Ashton Eaton laid claim himself to be the greatest athlete on earth by easily winning the gold medal in blank.
Decathlon.
Right. Admitting no wrongdoing, blank paid a $22 million fine for violating users' privacy.
Google.
Yes. A man in England had to be rescued from his apartment after accidentally starting a fire by blanking.
Rubbing two sticks together.
He lit a fire by drying his underpants in the microwave.
Oh.
Neighbors heard a smoke alarm going off, and they burst in, and they found a microwave filled with flaming underpants. Turns out that the preset button on the outside, little picture, it's popcorn.
Oh.
He didn't know.
Well, that's a good public service thing we've done here.
Yeah.
Other people won't do that.
Carl, how did Roy do in our quiz?
Roy had 6 correct answers for 12 more points.
Whoa.
He now has 14 points, and Roy has taken the lead.
Well done, Roy. All right. So, you're shifting lead back and forth. It's exciting. How many, then, does Amy Dickinson need to win?
6.
Oh, here
correct
we go,
answers.
Amy. This is for the game. This week, U.S. regulators accused the British bank Standard Chartered of breaking sanctions and laundering $250 billion from blank.
From Iran.
Right. Rafalka, the 15-year-old dressage horse owned by the wife of blank, did not medal in the Olympics.
That's correct.
Owned by the owned by the wife of Blank.
Oh, Mitt Romney.
Yes.
Sorry.
Revenging itself on the team that beat it in last year's World Cup, the U.S. women's blank team won a gold medal.
Soccer.
Yes.
Woo! Represent!
A Florida couple was charged with theft after the woman helped the man blank at a Walmart.
After the woman helped the man stuff something in his trousers.
Two computer hard drives, right. The CDC issued new guidelines for dealing with a new superbug version of gonorrhea that is resistant to all but one class of blank.
Antibiotics.
Right. This year, the Discovery Channel marked the 25th anniversary of its famous Blank Week programming.
Shark Week.
Yes. This week, a new poll awarded the title of most unfortunate town name to the town of blank.
Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
Close, it's on the list, but the winner was Toad Suck, Arkansas.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh.
That's pretty good. That even beat out Gnawbone, Indiana.
It did. Oh. The town is named, according to the proud Toad Suckers, it was named for boaters who used to go to a local tavern. And the locals would say, oh, they suck in the bottle there till they swell up like toads.
Oh.
Toad suck. That means another year of heartache for residents of Assawoman, Maryland, Love Ladies, New Jersey, and Monkey Eyebrow, Kentucky. Carl, did Amy do well enough to win?
She needed six correct answers to win, and she had six correct answers.
Whoa.
So 15 points. Amy Dickinson is this week's champion.
That was hard. Boy.
But you did it. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what the Curiosity rover will find on Mars. But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Progressive Insurance with more than 30,000 local independent agents. Information available at progressive.com. Angie's List, providing reviews on local AC repair, landscapers, doctors, and others based on member experiences at angieslist.com. And the National Association of Realtors and Advocate for Homeownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Goedeker writes our limericks. Our web guru is Beth Novi. And this week, we say a fond farewell to our intern, Mackenzie Van Engelenhoven. Your time with us was so short, we barely finished saying your name. B.J. Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced every week by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from Maine to California is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will the rover discover on Mars? Roy Blunt, Jr.
Well, it's kind of sad. It will be discovered that Curiosity landed on the only cat on Mars.
Amy Dickinson.
Well, I've been looking for my car keys for a long time, so I'm hoping.
And Tom Baudet.
We'll find Waldo, the beef, Carmen Sandiego, and Obama's birth certificate. Well, if the Mars rover finds any of that panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Red One Jr., Amy Dickinson, and Mr. Tom Baudet. Thanks to Mark Vogelsang, Charles Beck, Kate Cox, and everyone at the Maine Public Broadcasting Network. Thanks to the staff and crew at the Merrill Auditorium, and thanks to this wonderful crowd here in Portland, Maine. And thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR.
celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 12 o'clock.
Splendid.